Hi, this is Alan Chartok with Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut's 2nd District. He's been in office since 2007. Joe, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. So, Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
You know, some of these people who are running now think that since the Trump people were so effective, at least this is my interpretation, so effective in beating her up, that when people say, are you going to vote for her, they say no.
No, and I think that's clearly, if you look at challenger races around the country, you know, that's been a pattern, which is that, you know, there people are hearing, you know, from voters across the board that they really want Washington to perform differently. And you know, people who've been in leadership positions for a long time, I mean, I think have to recognize that that's real. And I think, you know, certainly, again, a couple of the races that you and I have discussed in the past, the Conor Lamb race and the Danny O'Connor race, which were the two special elections. In both instances, the Democrats who ran there, one who won and one who almost won, you know, made that pretty clear, is that they would not support Leader Pelosi in January.
So is that baloney? I mean, will they change their minds, or is Pelosi in danger?
I think to the extent that people are making public commitments like that, I don't think they can really reverse their position or change their position. Again, I think it's important to remember that the vote for leader is a two-step process. One is within the caucus, you know, where it's done privately, and whoever wins, you know, that's announced as the sort of caucus favorite. But the actual election of the speaker takes place in public on the floor of the House. And you may recall John Boehner twice, because he had Tea Party folks who were voting for, you know, third parties and fourth parties. There was about four or five of them that were, you know, getting votes tallied. It's like write-ins in an election. To the extent that Boehner came within a whisker of not getting to 218, which is the magic number in terms of a majority in the House, if he failed to get to that 218, they would have to do a second ballot or a third ballot or a fourth ballot. So for people who are, you know, trying to project forward, if the Democrats take control of the House, it's not enough to win within the caucus. You have to win on the floor. And to the extent that people are making public commitments that they would support someone other than Leader Pelosi, you know, that's makes that 218 target harder and harder to reach.
Right, right, right.
And we could be seeing multiple ballots in January.
That's
which, you know, certainly as long as I've been there, that's never been the case.
One of my favorite things to teach in my political science class has always been the alternative between being off the hook and in the tank, meaning, you know, that a lot of these, there is a certain amount of game playing. So, you know, the Democrats who want to elect Pelosi will have to figure out how many they can afford to let off the hook when it comes to voting for her.
No, that's true. And I think, you know, Boehner did the similar gymnastics, you know, when it was his turn. But I remember vividly that they were struggling to get to 218. There was, you know, lots of, you know, people running around on the floor. And you know what that whip process looks like when it's close. And again, the number one question is it going to be a two-vote majority? You know, is it going to be, you know, a Democratic majority of 220, or is it going to be 240? And to the extent that it gets closer and closer to 218, you know, this thing becomes very difficult in terms of, frankly, for anybody to get to 218.
Yep. I gotcha. Let's talk a little bit about defense. So President Trump goes up, signs the McCain Defense Act in upstate New York, doesn't mention McCain's name. There are, as you know very well from your district, defense manufacturers. And the question for you, Joe Courtney, is this spending going to be a rare bipartisan issue in 2018?
Well, it certainly was bipartisan. I mean, I think the vote tallies were impressively bipartisan. And I mean, I think it was roughly about 360 to 60 in the House, and it was almost unanimous in the Senate. I think it was less than 10 no votes, if I'm not mistaken. So And again, you know, John McCain, who should have been mentioned by the president up at Fort Drum, deserves a lot of credit for that, because, you know, he was a real, you know, old school, regular order chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, and so was Mac Thornberry in the House. And you know, to the extent that you let the process breathe and you trust the fact that, you know, you're going to get an outcome that at the end of the day will be acceptable to a large number of people, if you give people the opportunity to actually participate and have buy-in, that that's how you, in my opinion, as a legislative body, get things done. And in this instance, you know, really, if you, the National Defense Authorization Act and the Armed Services Committee in both chambers, they really do it the old-fashioned way. We actually conferenced the bill, you know, just like Schoolhouse Rock, you know, the movie shows. That is so rare right now that there are committee staff in some committees who wouldn't even know how to conference a bill because it's been so long ago that it's even happened. So, again, as you know, this schedule that we have between now and Election Day is very short. So the opportunity to get you know, a major bill like the defense bill done, maybe the farm bill that's got a shot. But other than that, I'm not seeing much on the horizon.
I
look similar.
I agree. So let's go on. We've got 2 minutes and 47 seconds, and I want to ask and I want to ask you about the Space Force, Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. I mean, are we going to have the separate branch of the military?
So first of all, I mean, this is something the committee has been looking at for a number of years. There has not been an actual congressional authorization to create a new branch of the military. I'm opposed to it. I think that there clearly are capabilities that we need to do research and development and look at. China has been already showing ability to use laser weapons in space. They, you know, shot down a couple of old satellites. So unfortunately, that realm, which should be non-militarized, you know, it's happening, and it's not, you know, the world gets a vote. It's the, you know, other players create that situation. But to actually take the full-blown step of a new military service, I think is I think it's wasteful. Number one, I mean, you know, the Pentagon is very large as it is right now, and the Air Force, I think, is more than capable of you know, doing the functions of what needs to be done in terms of R&D and testing, et cetera, without you know, creating a brand new uniform service.
Right. And of course, our defense budget has been so high, and we are over the top in terms of our debt in this country. Why can't the Air Force just do it? I mean,
Well, as I said, during the hearings, there was definitely some very vehement opposition within the Air Force to going this path. And, you know, part of that was territorial. Part of that really was also common sense, that there's just, you know, the function, which I think is unfortunately going to have to be sort of implemented, but it's certainly capable of being housed within the Air Force.
Okay, one last question. Are you satisfied, and I only got a couple seconds for it, are you satisfied with what your district is getting in terms of submarines?
Yes. I mean, again, the submarine fleet is on the decline just because we have such an old legacy fleet, and the build rate that we got through in this bill is going to continue at least to maintain a status quo. And the hiring that's been going on, double the workforce since when I first got elected in 2006, it's gone from 8,000 to over 16,000. That's going to continue.
It's great to talk to our friend Joe Courtney on the Congressional Corner. Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut's beautiful 2nd District. Thanks so much, Joe, for being with us on this. And we come back the next time. Let's talk about those tax cuts